Tao Wen began playing guitar at the age of 12. She practiced songs in her mother's laundromat, started bands in high school, a high school dedicated to science and technology, and in college, she played weekend shows while earning a double major in women's studies and psychology. To some, it may have appeared that she was destined to be a social worker instead of touring artist and songwriter. Touring with Andrew Bird and Mira, her recording collaborator, in and out of her band, The Get Down, Stay Down, it seemed that music won in the contest of wills between career paths, but then she settled down a couple years ago, packed up her banjo, and started volunteering at a local women's prison. The result, in addition to becoming a staunch advocate for the incarcerated, was her newest album, 2013's lauded We the Common. She's playing a show at the 502 Bar here in San Antonio Friday night. Here to talk to me about her latest album and her life in and out of music is Tao Wen. Tao, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So the last time I talked to you was a long time ago, 2009, and I asked you if you had done anything else, what would it have been? And you replied that you thought it would have had something to do with being a sort of social worker working with women and girls. And then, you know, 2 years later, you started volunteering pretty heavily at a women's prison. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. I had always had a strong allegiance to women's advocacy work, and both for personal and political reasons. So I've always been involved, but it definitely took a backseat when I started pursuing music full-time.
And talk a little bit about your passion for women's advocacy work. What is it about it that has drawn you, your part of your life?
I think it stems from being raised in a pretty turbulent home and seeing my mom endure a lot of hardship. And so, you know, it's very personal why I'm so attached to these causes. It's all biographical to a point, and then I expanded upon it when I was in college.
So what have you been working on with the coalition for, is it California Prisons?
Yeah, it's the California Coalition for Women Prisoners. And I'm a volunteer there, and I do advocacy visits in the state prison, for women. And I also, when I'm home in San Francisco, which hasn't been a lot this year, but I was also part of a women's empowerment group in the San Francisco County Jail.
What did that consist of? Playing, like, was it musically oriented, or was it just...
It had nothing to do with me playing music, which was so refreshing. And I think one of the reasons that I became so heavily involved. The advocacy visits are, this coalition started in the mid-90s to protest the abysmal medical conditions in the California state prisons. And so it stems from that. And membership consists of both people in and outside of prison and jail. And we go in as advocates in that we take notes on medical conditions and living conditions and try to incorporate those in lobbying efforts in Sacramento, in the state capital. And then we write letters of support on behalf of incarcerated women and really serve as liaisons for the organizers inside. And this coalition takes a lot of lead from women who are inside, women and trans people who are inside.
Well, it seems like you've drawn quite a bit from the experience of volunteering with these women, both internally as well as in your music. Can you talk about how it has affected your songwriting and how it relates to this newest album?
Certainly. I think this album wouldn't exist without my involvement in CCWP and my time with these folks, both inside and out. Within this coalition has greatly informed and served as sort of the foundation and bedrock for a lot of the songs. And you know, these songs are very much more outward-looking than my previous efforts, and they're a lot about gratitude and revival and taking care of one another and sort of trying to get at a more collective energy. And all of that stems from my work with CCWP.
You say it's more outward looking. What do you mean by that? I know that your first album seemed to be a lot about your parents and your life at home, and your second one was more about your role in that whole kind of group. What is this last one? And when I say your first one, I'm actually referring to We
Baby Sting.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Not Like the Linen.
Oh.
Yeah, what do you, just expand on the idea of what it means that they're more outward looking.
Outward looking in the sense that I'm that it is more about the collective and these songs that there's a lot more consideration of how I could be better, as opposed to lamenting or contemplating, you know, my my emotions or the whatever personal interplay is happening. The introspection is in a different direction.
It seemed like you had taken a turn a few years ago, and you had tried to get out of music for a little while, or out of touring rather for a little while. Was that part of your decision to be a part of a community, to start doing things like volunteering at the local women's prison? What was the impetus for you jumping out of the touring scene for a while?
I think I was really burned out on tour, and I'd spent the majority of my 20s on tour, and I didn't have so clear an agenda. I sort of let it fall off, and my plan was to switch labels and management, and so there was this stretch of respite between that, where I knew I wanted to live in one place. I wanted to live in San Francisco, even though I had in name been there for years, but didn't really know anything about it. And then becoming a part of the community happened naturally. Meaning I had my stuff was there, and I had friends there that I never saw, and I just wanted to have a home somewhere. I wanted to actually live in the place where all my stuff was.
I hate to use the term quarter-life crisis, but is that what it was? Were you taking stock?
Maybe. I guess so. Was that? Yeah, it was a little. It was a couple years past quarter-life, but well, I mean, depending on how long I live. Yeah, I guess it had something to do with that.
And what'd you get out of it?
I got a lot of perspective. I got a lot of gratitude out of it. I got a lot of. I got everything really. Then that time off and going and doing these visits and keeping in touch with people who I otherwise would never know has taught me so much, and I think given me a lot of appreciation for my life and my opportunities and my freedom.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was there a time in your career where you actually thought about just giving up on music and not pursuing it? It was maybe between your first major and your second major album?
I think it would be after No Better Learn Faster, after the second one. I definitely thought about it.
Why was it?
I couldn't really put it into words because I don't think that I cared enough about my career yet, not consciously. I didn't know, I didn't understand how to value the trajectory and sort of focus and see what had to be done. But I could feel momentum shifting and plateauing, and I didn't know quite what to do about it.
Well, talk about that. What do you mean when you say you felt like your momentum was plateauing? When you say that, do you mean artistically, or do you mean that the sales weren't there?
Right. Maybe both. But there are concrete markers on the road when you play the same venue however many times. Every time you pass through, you play the same venue, and if you don't eventually move up in that market, it's not good for morale. And someone with greater foresight and business acumen would say something's got to change. But given my level of maturity at that time, and I was still mid-20s, I didn't really, I wasn't paying attention enough to the big picture.
Well, We the Common certainly does not play like an album that is coming off of maybe it does play like an album that's coming off of a rest, but it's definitely a very, very produced album. It's got a lot of instrumentation, and it's extremely fun, and I was just wondering, it's definitely, I feel like it's a different, there's a different level of energy in this album than in your previous works. Would you agree, or?
I would agree with you, and I would tell you that it was one of the main priorities of this record was to better capture what I think our live show is and what our strengths are, to better capture that on record. And, the energy was coming from me having time and perspective and being really grateful. And also just, you know, it has a sense of urgency that I didn't have before.
You know, as I noted, you've toured with a lot of notables like Andrew Bird and your collaborator Mira. But more importantly to my audience, you've toured with the live show for Radiolab, Ira Glass, and you have shared a stage. So, and I'm pretty sure Radiolab sought you out. What do you think they were looking for when they came to incorporate you into their live show?
You know, I never asked Jed why. Well, yeah, Ira introduced Jed and me. So I think that they just wanted a loose energy.
What did they have you doing on stage?
We were doing live scoring, and basically all the sound effects and all the soundscaping and production that Jad does, we were taking cues from him and then just composing around that.
Why do you think it is that you get so much public radio love?
Maybe because I'm a monthly donor. I don't know. I try my hardest to pledge whenever I hear a fundraising drive. I don't know. I am very fortunate for it, and I love all of the folks that I've met.
You're a public radio fan. You're a public radio listener. What's your favorite public radio show?
Well, you know, I mean, I would have to say Radiolab and This American Life, as they are good friends of mine. But so those two and Fresh Air. Love Terry Gross.
But before I let you go, you know, your audience is my audience and my audience is yours. You often probably get tips. Do you have any tips for public radio in general? Is there something that really drives you crazy or that you want to hear on public radio that you aren't?
I don't know how to. This is purely constructive and not personal, but the host should maybe cooler prizes for the fundraising drives. You know, just to hike up incentive a little bit.
There's only so many mugs you need.
Yeah, right. And if people could make more self-effacing jokes, I would also appreciate that.
Yeah, we're a little stiff. I'll admit that.
Well,
I'll admit that.
I mean, there's a lot of you. You know, so
these are vast, you know, generalizations, obviously.
Right.
But, well, Tao Wen, thank you so much for joining me. And you're playing Friday at the 502 Bar here in San Antonio. And we look forward to seeing you and hearing you there.
Well, thank you so much.